I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the portion of Scripture which we have read for our responsive biblical reading in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, just as many of the Jewish readers had professed faith in Christ, and then through persecution and difficult circumstances, were contemplating going back into the shadows and figures of biblical Christianity, such is the danger that faces our nation today. Because there are many saying that our nation was not once a Christian nation. There are many that are saying that biblical Christianity is not the solution for the problems that we are facing. And they would have us go back into a system which truly has destroyed other nations and ground them into the dust of time. We're going to be looking at the life of Moses. And I hope that as we have been studying Hebrews, and as we see men and indeed women, I'm glad women are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Lest anyone should think that God only uses men. We know better than that. I believe Central Florida Bible Church, as well as churches across our nation, are standing firmly as pillars in the faith because of the faith of godly women and wives and mothers. Destroy motherhood and you destroy a nation. And that is what we are seeing today with the breakdown of the homes and families. God give us godly men and women of faith, such as we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Men and women that are willing to make the right choices. And that doesn't begin just when you get married. It begins early in life. Even as Joseph was a man, and as Daniel, a young boy who purposed in his heart not to defile himself against God. Proverbs talks about decisions that are made as Moses needed to make decisions. Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence because out of it are the issues of life. That verse is simply reminding us that our lives are formed by small decisions that we make. Very rarely the one single major decisions, but decisions that are made daily. Life is full of choices that we must make, and these choices will include things that we have to accept into our lives, but also things that we need to reject. And we need to learn to make right choices. As parents, we need to teach our children to make right decisions and the consequences of making wrong decisions. Just by way of warning, putting off needed decisions will mean that you've already made a decision. There are many people that will hear the gospel. As today is National Day of Prayer, pastors are being exhorted, give the word of God out. That is the salvation of our nation. And many people will say, I'm going to put it off. I'm going to put off becoming a Christian. Someday I'll make that decision. Dear man, dear woman, by making that utterance, you've already made a decision. Because you've made a decision to postpone. And if you say to God, wait, that is a decision. Our country today is bombarded with the notion that we can keep on kicking the can down the road in Congress and in Senate. And we can avoid making the tough decisions and leave them for the next generation to make. Well, you know what? We have a lot of our politicians that are selling our nation down the river. And they are making decisions. They're not postponing them. By postponing, they're saying no. And they're, in many, many cases, prolonging the great suffering and the decisions that need to be made. You know, Napoleon believed that there's a crisis and a critical point in every battle that he ever led. And that critical point in a battle is a period of 10 to 15 minutes. Just think of it. In a major battle, there's a critical decision that a commander needs to make, and he has a window of opportunity of 10 to 15 minutes to make a decision that will determine the outcome of the entire battle and the lives of hundreds and thousands of men. And to take advantage of this window of opportunity is victory. But to fail to make the decision is sure defeat. And oh, may we be confronted with the critical need of being decisive men and women. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Moses as he made decisions. This morning, we're going to be looking at the life of Moses and the decisions that he made. And his life was not perfect, we know that. And neither is yours. And Moses is a sinner who needed to be saved by grace. But praise God, he entered into the hero's hall of faith because he was a man whose life was characterized by faith. As we look at these principles that we're going to be looking at, and there are seven of them that characterize Moses' faith and the decisions that he made, there were things that he had to accept, and there were things that he had to say no to and reject. Making the right decisions, it's not always going to be an easy thing to do. We sometimes think, well, I want my kids to be my best friends, so therefore, I'm never going to make any decision as a parent that's going to run cross-grain with them. You'll be sorry for that decision. When you make the decision to do right, that involves saying yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. God give us leadership in our nation. And that leadership begins in our homes. It begins with our municipal leaders. It begins with our county leaders and our state leaders and our federal government and in all of the legislative branches to make the right decisions. Not to lift up the finger and see which way the political wind is blowing or what decisions are going to give and guarantee me a lifetime career in politics or in the position that I happen to currently be in. And we're going to look at the life of Moses and see the type of leaders that America needs today. And in so doing, all of us need to be. Number one, there are seven things that biblical faith has either to accept or reject. The first one is this: faith accepts God's plan. Faith accepts God's plan. Every day we're tempted to do things our way. The heart of man is deceitful and above all desperately wicked, it says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. But you know, right choices are made on the basis of a right faith. And a right faith is founded upon God's word. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 23. The word of God says, by faith, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents. Moses' parents were willing to risk their own lives in order to follow God's plan. It says, they saw that Moses was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And that Pharaoh who knew not Moses that arose sought the extermination of young children. And we're seeing days in our country today very, very similar, where we are practicing infanticide and expecting taxpayer funding and trying to somehow rid ourselves of the results of following lives of sin. And yet, here where life was cheap and babies were being killed, stood parents who were willing to risk their own lives because they believed that God had a plan for their son by faith. And oh, what a faith that was. Faith accepts God's plan. And God's plan involves God's will. Are we willing to obey God rather than man? Or perhaps we're more interested in what our political party might stand for. Or we might be concerned about having a peaceful relationship with our work associates, and that involves compromise. Faith accepts God's plans, and right choices are made because of a right faith in God's word. Faith not only accepts God's plan, but notice in verse 24, faith, the right kind of faith, rejects the world's prestige. You know, everyone wants to have the adulation and the acceptance and the prestige of the world. And many are willing to compromise. When Moses was raised in Pharaoh's courts, when he was come to years, up to age 40, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. For 40 years, Moses had been groomed to be the prince of Egypt. And yet he had to make a crucial decision to become a full-fledged Egyptian or to associate with God's chosen people. You know, there was a man called Baron Justinian von Welz who renounced his title, his estates, his income, and he was willing to follow God's call to the mission field in what is now called Dutch Guiana. And today his body lies in a lonely grave, and he's forgotten by the world, but he's remembered by God. This world has little to offer compared to the riches of knowing Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What is the devil dangling in front of your eyes today so that you will compromise your faith? Is it a job that's going to involve neglecting your family and bringing you across the nation where you'll very infrequently see your family members and you'll have to fly in to make an appearance to see them? Is it a position that involves making choices that sometimes are illegal and will jeopardize your future and affect others as well? Here, Moses was willing to put the Lord first and reject the world's prestige. The world has little to offer. I think of the words of Satan when he told the Lord, "All of these kingdoms will I give you if you fall down and worship me." Now, what if Jesus had done that? Jesus would have been presiding over a world where sin had not been dealt with. You see, Satan always makes promises, but he withholds from your realizing the consequences of wrong decisions. All we need to realize that even when we don't have the facts, you cannot go wrong doing things God's way, accepting God's plan revealed in his word, rejecting the world's prestige. You see, having faith involves faith and acceptance, but it also involves rejection, point two. And that's the nature of the Christian life, being able to make discerning decisions. I see that absent among so many Christian young people today, the ability of discernment, to look at the big picture and judge consequences and circumstances that can come about by making the wrong decisions. Faith accepts God's plan. Faith rejects the world's prestige. But notice in verse 25, faith rejects the world's pleasure. Oh, the world is going to promise lots of pleasure. Anyone involved in law enforcement, and Jonathan is with us and he will testify, oftentimes the first hit is for free. And it's offered to dangle. I recently heard of a situation where a man was giving his testimony on how he had been hooked with drugs. And he went to a party, and I didn't personally know that this was possible, but he went to a party, and they were smoking crack cocaine. He shouldn't have been at the party. This was his testimony. This man was a preacher who had come to Christ in his early years, but before he got saved, he went to a party, and at this party, they were smoking crack cocaine and marijuana, and there was this girl that ran up to him and kissed him. Very promiscuous kiss. And she blew crack cocaine while she kissed him into his throat. And as a result of that, he became hooked. And his life went down the tubes from that point to the point where he was committing crimes and all types of things. And he ruined his life. And he was raised in a Christian home. But because of making the wrong choices and accepting what he should have been rejecting, he just didn't see the big picture. Oh, how we need to be careful. The Word of God says in verse 25, notice how faith rejects the world's pleasure, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I'm not here to get political about building a wall or not building a wall, but I'm going to tell you this. There is no wall high enough that can be built that's going to keep people from getting drugs if their hearts are away from God and they're going to seek it. What we need in America is a spiritual salvation revival. And we need to pray God's defense is upon our people. And yes, I'll not argue with building a wall. I personally feel it should be built. But until we deal with the insatiable desire of individuals for the possession of drugs, they're going to get them any way that they can. And it's not only from the South. It'll come overseas and from the East and from the West as well. We know that. Sin, by the way, is pleasurable for a season. It always gives a passing. The guy that goes one toke over the line is always going to be seeking the next one, the next hit, the next satisfaction. And after a while, he becomes a wild animal that'll do anything for that next hit of drugs or that next glass of alcohol. And the joy is always passing. You know, it was Robbie Zacharias, the great preacher that I enjoy listening to, who said, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. And Satan never reveals his cards. He always keeps them close to his vest, but he is out for your destruction. And even believers, although he cannot take away your salvation, he can take away God's blessing and fruitfulness in your life. When you accept the things that you ought to be rejecting and you reject the things that you ought to be accepting. Faith rejects the world's pleasure. But fourthly, notice verse 26, faith rejects the world's plenty. It says in verse 26, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, scammers are everywhere. I wager to say that every one of you have gotten at least one scam call this week. And it involves the internet, it involves your finances, it involves perceived dangers that you may be facing, it involves people that'll be descending upon Houston, that beloved section of our country. Scammers are going to come and they're going to take advantage of people's needs. And it will happen. And people will fall. Especially senior citizens can so easily fall prey. It'll be something like this. Well, we're working down the road on a home. And, you know, we see that you have great roof damage too. And we have extra supplies. And we can pass off a great discount for you with our extra supplies that we can cut down on your expense. Just let us fix it right now. But it has to be done. We got to begin right now. And they always present a necessity. Get it now. Have it now. How many people get themselves in trouble with the credit card? And then they're paying usury rates and interest that bind them, paying for products that have long been worn out or lost or no longer useful. And they're bound so that they can't follow the direction of the Lord or even give to needy projects and circumstances that may come up in our nation or in a local church. God's reward, believe it, is always greater than the world's. God's riches are greater than the riches of the world. And I can look back and you've never been rich, I know that, and I've never been rich. But you know, I can look at your life and I could see how God has brought you through circumstances almost as if you had been rich. The Lord provided. He provides when it's needed and it's been miraculously done. Sometimes it's through other people in your life or circumstances, but God is no man's debtor. And he was able to provide for Moses' needs. He turned his back on the riches of Egypt, but he reminded himself that God is my sustainer. You know, again, like I've preached before, Hebrews 11 is really a testimony to the glory of God. How God can use sinful people like this. How God can provide for people with so many needs that they faced here. The plentiness of the world, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Oh, what does it prosper a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There are many listening to this message, either here or on the internet, that are putting money. Money is keeping you from coming to Christ. Because the procurement of ill-gotten gain is first place in your life. And yet, you can't take it with you, can you? We know that. Faith rejects the world's plenty. But you know what? It opens up the believer to the life of God's provision. And we can testify to that. Number five, Moses exemplified the fact that faith rejects the world's pressure. Faith rejects the world's pressure. You know, Moses left Egypt twice. The first time he left Egypt, he was running. He was fearful. But the second time he left Egypt, he was following the will of the Lord and he experienced God's hand of deliverance. If you got to run, you want to run with God. I remember when I was in seminary, a city boy gave me a book. The title of the book was, Are You Running With Me, Jesus? And it was the story of a man that was a jogger and a runner. Are you running with me, Jesus? And the truth of the matter is, yes. He's with you everywhere you go. And for those of you that enjoy running, run for Jesus. And you'll never, never fail in strength. Elijah was a man that ran for Jesus as well. And just keep on following the Lord. Faith rejects the world's pressure. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's what faith is all about, keeping your eyes on the Lord. And if you're working in a company or for an agency or an organization, keep in mind you're actually working for the Lord. He is your provider. And if you're ever asked to do things illegal or immoral, make the right decisions. Reject those things because you're working for God and He is your provider. Faith accepts God's provision. You know, the 10th and the last plague that the Lord sent was the death of the firstborn. And you remember that the Israelites were to apply the blood to the posts and the lintels of their doorways. And the Word of God tells us that when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What a beautiful picture of the fact that faith accepts God's provision as well. Provision. And number 6, notice, through faith he kept the Passover. Oh, that has such significance to the table of the Lord that we're observing today. As we studied the manna, but then we also think of the Passover and the sprinkling and application of the blood. And it was done on the very front of the home where all could see. Oh, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May that be our decision. Through faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Then number 7, faith. Oh, we need this faith in our country today. Faith accepts God's promise. Faith accepts God's promise. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. You know, God is able to intervene in our nation and accomplish things that we never thought possible. And He can open up the doors of the Red Sea for our nation, for our homes, our families, those that are working in government, things that we could never understand. Sometimes God has to bring a nation to the very brink, such as the children of Israel were at the brink of the Red Sea, for the nation to rise up and say, Lord, we need you. Our Congress doesn't have the answers. Our senators don't have the answers. The leadership doesn't have the answers. You do. We look to you. And I think of the words in Exodus 14 and verse 13. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Remember when the Lord told Moses, the Lord shall fight for you. Don't worry about Pharaoh and his hordes. Our nation today, all around, unilaterally, we see dangers. North Korea, we see ISIS, we see Hezbollah in Syria. All around us, we see the corruption and the destruction and those that would seek to do us harm. Even within our own nation, we have the destructive forces that are seeking to cause rioting in our schools and in our nations and in our universities. All we need to remember the need for exercising biblical faith. All 7 principles that are for us today. Let's bow our heads, and I'm going to ask our men to prepare for the table of the Lord as our elders would come to do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your graciousness towards us, your loving kindness. Lord, not only have you raised us out of the muck and the mire of sin and placed our feet on a solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, but Lord, you could do that collectively for our people in our nation. And Lord, as our godly elders prayed this morning for our nation and its spiritual need, and Lord, we see that calamity ought always to drive us to the feet of Jesus. Lord, whether it's the Tower of Siloam that fell or the destruction of a temple, Lord, you were trying to get a nation's attention. And Lord, our nation has gone from your presence and sought other gods, other priorities, the satisfaction of this world. May we, Lord, look to you. And Lord, may we come back and do the first things and return to our first love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.